Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me for the broadcast today. The last several broadcasts, I've been ministering on a subject, becoming as little children. And we were looking at our text found in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 3. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And as I shared before we started looking at the characteristics of a good child according to the Word of God, that there is a difference between being childlike and childish. To be childish, of course, represents, instability, immaturity, as well as foolishness, because Proverbs 22 and 15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And so what I did was I just went to the Word to try to understand, what does the Word define as being a good child, to become as a little child? Because this is obviously important, otherwise Jesus would not have said it, and to the extent that you're not going to make it into heaven unless you become as a little child. And so just by way of quick review, we saw that saving faith, to enter in, to receive the message of the gospel as a little child by faith, a desire for spiritual growth and hunger for the Word. 1 Peter 2 and 2 talks about a desire, the sincere milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby. A child is teachable. They're impressionable. They don't have preconceived notions, and they're willing to learn. We need to maintain that throughout our Christian walk. And then there's unquestioning obedience. We saw references in the life of Jacob indicated his immediate respect and submission to his parents. And then, of course, there's submission to God. Hebrews 12 and 9 says, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? That is, of course, a reference that we reverence our natural fathers. So how much more should we give reverence to our Heavenly Father and submit to Him? And then there's a submission to discipline. Proverbs 29 and says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give thee delight unto thy soul. And then the sixth trait I'd like to share is trust. In Psalm 131, verses 1 and 2, David says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. What does that mean? Wean mean? Well, it means to accustom or adopt a child to taking food that can be chewed and eaten otherwise than just by nursing or taking a bottle, just drinking milk. And so think about this. A child is anxious for nothing. They're never worried. Again, now I'm speaking about an ideal situation. And of course, children of the Lord, we are to be anxious for nothing. How often do we fail in that? We let the problems of life overwhelm us. And especially, as we do mature and we've got responsibilities for not only our own life, but the lives of others. If you're a man, you're in charge of a family, or you might be in ministry and you've got a flock as an under shepherd you're taking care of. We tend to be anxious, and which that's a form of worry and fear. And yet, the Word says we're simply to trust God. And that's something I believe we always have to work on. But that's a sign of a child. And then also, the eighth trait I'd like to share is a child, a good child, honors as well as loves its parents. we see, again, I'll give some scripture references, Genesis 46 and 29. And Joseph made his chariot, made ready his chariot, and went up to meet Israel, Jacob his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. What a joyful, incredible reunion that must have been for them. The father thinking that his son had been dead all those years, and that God had a plan, and that was to save not only Joseph, but all the people of Israel. 70 people, souls, went up to dwell in Egypt, and they were spared from that time of famine. And Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And then, of course, if we really honor and really love our parents, a good child, what would be one of the most delightful things that a parent could experience? Not only just obedience, which is a wonderful thing, but going above and beyond the minimum requirement, if you would. For example, in Luke, the 17th chapter, verse 10, the word says, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say," listen to this, "we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." And so, you know, when we go take that extra step, when we do more than what we're asked, not only do what we're asked with a good attitude, but if we show that loving willingness, how it blesses the heart of a natural parent and certainly our Heavenly Father. All right, well then, let's share another trait, and that is respect and honor given the aged. In Leviticus 19 and 32, the word says, and this is a command, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord." How much does that occur today? Especially in our society here in America, we tend to disrespect the elderly, our old people. You know, they've gone past their prime. They're no longer really useful, profitable members of society. So, and especially if they get infirm or sick, we just warehouse them in nursing homes. There's not the respect and the, as are in some cultures. For example, I know when I was up at the Duck Valley Reservation, I lived, pastored there almost 2 years, that there, among Native Americans, there is a respect for the elders. For example, whenever there's a community get-together, and of course, they always have a meal, no one goes first. The elders are the ones that go first. And so that's something that the Word of God tells us that we're to do. In Job 32 and 6, the word of the Lord says, "And Elihu answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment." That also is true. But ideally, the aged should grow wise in the things of the Lord as we serve God. And, you know, in today's world that we're living in, the liberals, the humanists are doing all that they can to pervert the divine order of a child-parent relationship. In fact, there's actually been a treaty, the Rights of a Child Treaty, and it grants freedom of expression to children without restriction, as well as freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. It would prohibit any restriction of the child's freedom of association. And basically, it would grant children the absolute right of privacy, including privacy from their parents. And so, what is the significance of this? Well, not only do we respect and honor the aged, but to respect and honor spiritual authority. For example, in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, verse 17, the word says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." There's a tremendous responsibility that God places on leadership. Listen to the words of the Lord found in Ezekiel, the third chapter, verses 17 through, well, I guess it's maybe 21. Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. You see, this is the purpose of leadership. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. That's some fearful words, is it not? In verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wicked way, nor from his turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Verse 20 declares, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. Beloved, you see how critically important it is, the tremendous burden of responsibility that leadership has to declare the word of the Lord, the whole counsel of God, without fear and favor of man. Beloved, there is so much happening today, so much apostasy. There's that great falling away. The word of God is being watered down. Well, you know, I know that's what the word says, but you know, we need to be relevant for today's world, for today, the culture in which we're living now. Beloved, God's word, his commands, his principles are timeless, and we need to heed those words if we will live. And that's one of the reasons I'm on this broadcast, to be able to share the truth of God's word. And one of those ways is we need to become as little children that we can enter the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. Well, it's been good to share the word of the Lord. There's still more, and I expect perhaps on tomorrow we can finish this message on becoming as little children. Until then, I love you. This is Sister Glass. The announcer will give you our contact information. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.